Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show tonight. Very cool dude. His name is Austin Mead. He performs live on the show. I saw some of his videos. Like, this guy's got to come on the show. Remember, we do it every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You could use the code SDR and get a one-week free trial, or just subscribe and listen anywhere. We have our YouTube channel as well. That's the newest 20 episodes all the time. All we want you to do is share, listen, and tell people about the SDR show. Bill Schultz is my co-host, and here it is right now, the Austin Mead episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far. You need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Shannon is here. Ani is here. I made them keep their cameras off because I'm afraid that both Bill and Austin might start masturbating, and it would just throw off the whole show. It'd be hard to do it. But Bill, you're back for the three-peat of hosting. Am I right?
Already finished, and it was just the image of Shannon.
Oh,
so I didn't even need,
fun.
Yeah. And I'm quick.
Well,
thanks for having me back, buddy.
Yeah, it's nice to see you. And now we'll bring the guy on right away. It's a very cool story. Seems like a very cool
He's
dude.
He's awesome.
It is Austin Mead. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic.
Well, a couple of things. You know, I do a little research whenever I start to bring a guy on it, and Bill does this as well, which I'm very appreciative of. Number one, you always wonder, how difficult is it going to be to talk to someone? You know, are they one-word answer guys? Are they jovial? Are they what? I watched you do an interview where I swear to God that basically the interviewer said, so tell me about the new album, and I don't think he said anything else. So we know that will be good for that. That's number one. And number
two,
no, it's a good thing. And number two, I was saying you kind of look like, I thought Wooderson from Dazed and Confused, if he let his hair grow, the Matthew McConaughey character, or if someone just showed me your picture and said, hey, that's Molly Hatchet's guitar tech, I'd say, oh, I could see that.
Hey, when I was little, I looked like a miniature Spicoli. I had like bleach blonde hair, and, you know, it was a lot brighter than it is now. So it's always been my goal, you know, I got to get back to Spicoli.
Yeah, by the way, Spicoli or McConaughey in Dazed. And both of those are good options. I'd take both of those. That's a good comparison.
All right. So right off the top, we're going to get into Black Sheep. The first single I heard was Happier Alone, which got really big, blew up everywhere. And it's funny because I looked at that one and then Deja Vu. And I was thinking to myself, oh, these were written during quarantine because it sounds like songs that are Happier Alone makes sense. I discovered I'm way fucking happier alone during quarantine. Deja Vu, every day seems like the same. But no, these were written while you're on the road before all this shit happened. Is that right?
Yeah. We actually recorded the record before we got locked up, and we were planning on putting out the record on our own before everything got canceled. So it just kind of worked out that way. But there's always been something weird about songwriting and then it becoming true. Which is, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse. I got to start writing happier fucking songs because I've written songs and then like a year later that shit will happen to me and I'll just be like, oh fuck, here we go. There's a fortune teller. So
well,
yeah, it kind of happened that way with Black Sheep.
There's an interesting, I have to do a health and wellness show. We talk about this a lot. There's a thing called the Tetris effect, right? Which is when you are constantly focused on something, they figured this out with kids that they were playing Tetris. You see it everywhere because your brain wants to recognize patterns. A great example would be you buy a new car and then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. That car didn't get more popular. You just saw it because now you own one and you think about it more. Your brain wants to recognize commonalities. So if you do surround yourself with negative or positive, you're just going to see that more often. So maybe it's just that you're realizing the surroundings you're already in, if that makes any sense. Does that sound too deep for everybody?
I think we're there. We're in it, man.
Well, and by the way, request permission to love you, Captain, because I believe you released the Not Alone one on Valentine's Day. That's great. Sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to put that out on Valentine's Day because it was kind of a fuck you to Valentine's and everybody that wastes money on those dumbass stuffed bears and shit. So I thought it was a good way to remember the day. And then we actually put out a new version of it on the 1 year anniversary on this Valentine's Day with one of my buddies, Co-Wetzel. And we did like a new video with it and everything. So I'm kind of, I guess we've kind of dubbed that our holiday now, our anti-holiday. Yeah.
I talk about this a lot on the show, so I apologize, but I used to be a strip club DJ, and 1 year I got forced to be the DJ on Valentine's Day at a strip club, which holy shit, was it not the cream of the crop that were coming in on Valentine's Day? Every hour on the hour, I played Loser by Beck and dedicated it to any asshole that would actually show up on Valentine's Day. And then they didn't have me ever work Valentine's Day again.
I was going to say.
Hey, did you have any of the strippers' boyfriends showing up? Because that would have been interesting.
Well, boyfriends, it's funny. So back then, there were all these guys that legitimately thought they were in relationships with the girls. Because they're like, if I didn't come in tonight, Amber was going to kill me. Like, she doesn't give a shit, dude. You know, it's not a real boyfriend. It's guys that were spending money. But whatever. We're getting off track. A couple things. So correct me if I'm wrong here. Your father, which is such an interesting thing, a big rock and roll dude, 80s rock dude, but also a minister or preacher. I get confused. I'm a Jew. I don't know these different things. But it
Baptist,
seems like,
right? Yeah.
It seems like a guy that's super religious wouldn't be taking you to heavy metal shows. Is that a weird way to look at it?
My dad's a unique character and a unique person. Yeah, absolutely true that he started in the Air Force. And then when I was young, became like a Southern Baptist youth minister and has planted a bunch of churches. And he's always been like the cool guy, way cooler than me and everything. And so not that he's trying to be cool. He just fucking is, you know, he just has his own
welcome
style.
Welcome to the club. I know how it feels. Continue.
So yeah, he's always loved rock and roll and took me to a bunch of rock shows growing up, which is like how I fell in love with it. And that's why I'm a music fan, is because of him. And I guess I'm kind of just like trying to make music that makes him proud, I guess, in some cheesy way. Cause whenever we first started, it sucked. He'd be like,
oh really? He would actually say that? That's fucking great. He would say that.
He wouldn't say that it sucked, but he'd be like, cool, keep trying. And I just like, fuck, all right. So just with this last record, really. And I mean, he's always been supportive for sure of me, like going out and doing the fucking thing and working my ass off. But, you know, just with this last record and the one right before that, he's like, okay, shit, it's good to see the leaps and bounds. And so he's always been like the coolest guy, as far as he doesn't give a shit what you do or what your background is. He's just there to enjoy the moment. And I try to think about that a lot with like what we do, is like, we're here at this show. I could be thinking about 100 different things. What's tomorrow? What are we doing? Like right now we're in the studio right now making the next record. Left
to
lunch.
It's crazy that you're already recording the next record, which I want to get into that as well, but you know, save that for a little bit later in the interview, but that's just crazy that that's how focused you guys are.
Yeah. And I could always be like thinking about other things, but with my dad, he's like, hey, let's go to this rock show. Let's enjoy the night, have a couple of beers, and let's just like get away from shit for a while. And he's always been like that. And that's why I think that's why I do what I do, honestly, is because of him.
Well, when you think about it, like a proper Baptist preacher can kind of be a frontman rock star if he wants to, if he does it well. And like, I almost feel like your dad's pretty much living vicariously through you. You're just taking it to the next level.
Yeah, I think I've always, I was born without the filter, you know? So I've always been the one that's like on the front edge of just pissing people off as far as my family goes. My poor mother's had to put up with me for 28 years. Just God bless her. And, I don't know how she's been able to put up with me for that long, being asshole.
I officially hate him now because he's fucking 28 and I'm basically double his age. So go fuck yourself. But let me ask you this, Austin. So
he could be your dad.
Maybe I'm his dad, just not as cool.
I'll keep, that's what it is. I'll keep the one I got, but thank you.
Good answer. So you started out drumming, and then one day you have an epiphany and say, I don't want to be a drummer anymore. I want to front the band. Do you remember the catalyst? What made that happen when you said, all right, enough already. I don't want to be the backup guy.
Well, it wasn't really the idea of being the backup guy, honestly. And, you know, we're just, I mean, this is the SDR thing here. So we're going straight to it. I was just tired of playing shitty music, and I didn't want to play in a cover band. I didn't want to play songs that I didn't like. And I was just fucking tired of like having to go play these shitty fucking dives and play three or four hours of fucking covers. And some of them were fun, but I just saw the short run in it. And it's hard to find people that have the same kind of drive that are like fucking focused on doing something bigger and going. And I went to school at Texas A&M for agricultural economics, which is basically a business degree, mm-hmm. and kind of focused on entrepreneurship. And, you know, doesn't matter if it's music or some other type of business, you've got to see further than just like a week down the line. You've got to kind of anticipate things. And I just didn't see myself wanting to still be playing covers or doing that bullshit thing for any more time than I had to. So I just started trying to write songs, and then I get like competitive with everything, but especially with myself. I'm trying to like be better at this or that. I'll be like, hey, put out a record, and then I'll be like, yeah, this fucking sucks. We got to make a better one. Just how I've always kind of been. So I kind of just got tired of playing the cover bullshit. Didn't want to waste my time doing that. And then I just kind of got focused on beating myself with the next song. And, you know, I like to play golf. So golf's very competitive. It's like the only person that can fuck you up is yourself in that sport, really. So just kind of whooping my own ass and just being like, what's going on here? So that's kind of how that.
It's come up a few times lately about golf. I've actually literally never held a golf club. Bill, have you ever played golf?
I was a caddy, so that made me hate golfers for the most part. But there is a like a rock and roll theme here. Like Alice Cooper is a huge golfer.
Vince Neil, a big golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would do well. I also think you'd have to get custom golf clubs.
The patience
because of my
for
heart.
It, yeah.
Because of 6'5", I doubt a golf club would fit me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how that works.
You can fit them. I used to fit golf clubs in college. That was like one of my side jobs. And so, yeah, you could definitely find you a set.
How tall are you?
Sure.
Could you look tall?
I'm not that tall, dude. I'm like 5'11". If chicks ask, I'm 6 foot. So,
yeah.
You know.
That's funny. But because you're thin, you also.
Oh, that means foot. I'm 5'9".
Yeah. I'm 5'11 and a half.
Yeah, the only people only under 6 feet give the halves and the quarters and all that fucking nonsense.
I know, hey, not all of us are lucky bastards, you know? Some of us are just born average height.
Thank you. Let that resonate, Ralph.
Yeah, believe me, I think it's a curse. 6'5 is too tall. I have a twin brother that's 5'7". If I could give him 3 inches, I'd be 6'2", he'd be 5'10". That seems normal, but whatever.
This is a weird-ass podcast. I've never had anybody ask their brother to give him 3 inches before, we're like 10 minutes into this thing.
No, believe me. He gave it to me once in a different way. It was
just
a whole different story. Whole different thing. So now, with Black Sheep, you moved to Snake Farm Records, first time you with them. Great company. Thorgood's on that label. Melissa Etheridge is on that label. Was that a long time courtship for that to happen? How did you end up on Snake Farm?
Really? It just, honestly, it just fucking happened out of the blue because I was going to put out the record on my own. And then all the tour dates got canceled. So a couple of my friends had been sharing the records with their other folks in the industry and stuff. And then randomly got a call. We have a buddy that it does really great PR stuff. John Freeman. And
oh, I know John Freeman. That's your that's your PR guy?
He was. He still is, I think. Yeah. But we had worked with him on this last record.
Can I just interrupt for a second? Speaking about a business guy, way to be abreast of your business. You don't even know who your goddamn publicist is. Come on now, Austin.
Called rock and roll.
He's the guy that graduated with a fucking business degree.
I used to be super into who was running everything. And then since the label thing, I've pretty much had to back off and just like Okay. Really kind of like let other people take the reins and shit. But yeah, John was fucking awesome. And whenever we finished Black Sheep, we just sent it to him just to check out. And then he showed some of his friends and it just, the conversation just kind of started. So there was a couple months of talking and you know how it goes. They're always like, oh, we like this. Well, something's on the way, whatever. And then you got to wait for all the business shit to happen. But I really enjoyed the conversations that I had with the people at Snake Farm. And Darren is the A&R guy there. He's been awesome to chat with. And I'm just straight up with them. And so whenever I'll just be like, fuck that, I'm not doing that. And they'll be like, well, okay. You know, and they just kind of like let it go. So, but it's still very fresh and very new for sure. Like it's been less than a year since we started talking. So we're still figuring each other out and everything. And obviously like they haven't been able to travel down here to Texas. I've been down here playing a bunch of shows, traveling and shit, but things are different depending on where you live. So I haven't met them in person yet. So they'll probably be even more shocked.
Well, just make sure you read the fine print on the contract. So maybe they're going to give you 3 inches. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there, Austin?
They're probably trying to. Yeah. That's why you get a good lawyer.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And also, by the way, what I saw, you know, went back to some of the older stuff. Waves was the last one. And there was a Chief of the Sinners, I think was the first one, maybe. But you've definitely gotten more rocky, if that's a word, on this album, and a little bit more on Waves. But this one for sure feels more like a bigger record, more guitar riffs, a little more anthemic, I guess you could say. Is that a conscious effort to do that? Is that just because your father's influences are coming in? Like, where did we decide to go more rock and less country?
I think it's just being competitive with yourself. Like, I saw myself as wanting to be like a rock artist early on, but I didn't fucking know how to do that. And I didn't have anybody around me to tell me what to do. So I just jumped in and just did it. I was like, fucking let's try something. Right. Because if you don't start, like, you're never going to. So I didn't want to fucking wait around for a label or like an opportunity to do this or that. I just wanted to go and just try it and just jump in and start playing shows. So that's how it happened. And obviously, like, I grew up in Central and South Texas. So there's like a red dirt country scene down here that where you can make a lot of money and play shows all over Texas and Oklahoma. And it's great. It's fantastic. But I think I sounded like that at the beginning because I didn't really know who I was as an artist yet. So I was just like kind of blending into the same bullshit around me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then for the Waves record, I got, there was an EP right before that called Heartbreak Coming. As I kind of went through a really heavy Tom Petty phase. So I was only listening to like Tom Petty and Ryan Adams from, you know, 2016 to 2019. Mm-hmm. So I went up that route and, you know, like very raw tones and just, it sounds like you're in the room kind of shit. And then I, at the end of 2018 or 2019, I just really dug back into like all the Whitesnake records. Mm-hmm. And, I really love Incubus and Paramore. So obviously 80s rock from my dad's influence, but like I love the feeling and, I guess the nostalgia of for me, like listening to like Fall Out Boy and Paramore and Incubus. Those are
Arctic Monkey. Yeah,
Arctic Monkey is fucking huge for me, especially the last like 5 years. I've just stared at Alex Turner like, I want to be that dude.
It's funny because you list them. I saw somewhere you said Arctic Monkeys, Paramore, Incubus, Whitesnake. I was like, which is the one that doesn't belong? It's just kind of funny because obviously that was your dad's influence. He must have been a huge Whitesnake fan.
Yeah, we actually have matching Whitesnake tattoos, which is fun.
That's great.
Yeah. But with Whitesnake, I did love them at the beginning because my dad was a huge fan of like the guitars and the way the songs are put together. But I've really fallen in love with seeing them live and the way that Coverdale carries himself. And he's always just armed with like an arsenal of guitar gods where you show up to the show and you're just like, holy shit, I got to pick my jaw up off the floor. The fucking band is incredible.
Well, that's a big issue with Dave is that, you know, I know him for years, right? I used to do him on a radio show. He'd been on a bunch of times. And he would always say it was so hard for him to tour because he would only go out with gods. They all have to be the best of the best or he does not want to go out. So it would just cost that much more for Whitesnake to tour. So he wouldn't do it unless he knew it was going to be a big tour because they would not make any money.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that, but that's awesome. I mean, that's why it's probably why I see him as, you know, the top of the top. So
yeah, he really is. Hey, I've loved Whitesnake. I've only waited in line twice in my life to buy a new record. One was Whitesnake, one was Queensryche, and that's the only time I've ever like day of back when you used to go buy records. I waited online for the day the new album came out. That's how much of a obsessive fan I was.
Nice. Yeah, I just can't believe that like those songs still I put them on now and I'm just like, fuck yeah, let's go, buddy. I still get jacked off those things and they sound fantastic. And I love how he's been putting out new mixes and new versions that sound a little bit more contemporary of the stuff. He's got the rock album, the blues album stuff, and just finding new ways to kind of reinvent the sound. And I love it. I just saw them not this past November, but the November before in San Antonio before all the venues got shut down and shit. So that's still one of my favorite things to do is like me and dad going to a Whitesnake show, crushing some fucking beers and enjoying
it. I thought you
were
going to say, you know, I really thought you could say me and my dad going to Whitesnake crushing some puss. I'm like, wow.
Nah. He's been married for like 30 something years and he's a good role model.
That's really cool. That's really awesome. And, you know, I could go on and on about Whitesnake. They're one of my favorites, but you should look up if you've never seen it. It's a DVD and an album called Starkers in Tokyo, never released in this country. It's an all acoustic set of like 10 big songs, just him. And it might've been Vandenberg. I'm not sure who the guitarist was, but just him and the guitarist. It might've been, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if it might've been Doug Aldrich. Actually, I think it's Doug Aldrich. So it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half show. It's available on an HD DVD. It's fucking incredible.
Oh, I haven't
done a favor and get that if you've never seen it. Have you seen it? Or are you looking it up to buy
it
right now?
I haven't seen it. I was about to look it up. I'm about to turn my phone on Do Not Disturb because I got people blowing me up. 1 second. I got to put it on Do Not Disturb.
Well, he's a very... Okay. Austin Me Too is a very popular man, apparently.
And full disclosure, Ralph Sutton is also Whitesnake's publicist. So we should add that
shit.
As well. Yeah.
Hey, well, next time you talk to Coverdale, just ask him if he wants to make a little music, come back, make some magic. I got a spot.
Yeah, if I ever do speak to him, I would throw that out there. So before we go any further with the 4th of July right around the corner, I don't think there's a better way to celebrate your freedom than going to yokratom.com and getting yourself a $60 kilo of kratom. You know, we've talked about it many, many times on the show. They have high quality curated kratom. Sometimes it's $100, $150, $180 for kratom that you don't know anything about. But here it is, high quality wholesale prices sent directly to you, and they ship all over the country. If you're a fan of kratom, this is the kratom to use. If you've never tried it before, don't worry about it. No worries. I know Shannon loves a couple of different strains and has been using Yo Kratom for a long time. So if you're a fan of Kratom, again, it is yokratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. By the way, on the title track, there's a line that you say that speaks to me in volumes, which is from Black Sheep. You say, comfort is a hard drug, right? And it is so true now more than ever. It's a great line because I've realized, and I'd love to hear the motivation behind it, but for me, like nowadays, being home all the time, fuck, it's easy to just sit around and do nothing. Like you really, it's, you know, I'm sure my producer wants to punch me in the face for saying this and how hard they work. But when I'm staying at home all the time, I've now been forcing myself to go to the office, even if just a little bit at a time, because it's been a year and a half of me not having to go, and I have to go back to it. And there's another way of saying it, which when I do my very effeminate Peloton rides, they say, get comfortable being uncomfortable, which is another way of saying it. But what was the motivation behind that?
I think it's there's a lot of things. So it starts with like my early life growing up with dad being a pastor. There's a lot of people that find comfort in the church, right? And they find comfort in like believing in something so that like that I'm gonna get deep here, right? But this is just things that I've learned since growing up in the church. Like people find comfort in believing that like this is not the end of everything, like when you die here, right? And so we want to find like comfort or something that lives on longer than us. And for me, that's why I make music, is because I don't have money to fucking buy a building and name it after me at a university, or like own a town. And I don't want to fucking deal with that anyways, but
own a town. You escalated this quickly. Jeez.
Well, you gotta have dreams, man, but yeah. Right. So, but that's why I make music, is because it's going to live on longer than me. And for me, I think that stemmed from growing up in the church. And some people are genuinely fantastic folks that will do anything for you. But there was a lot of folks growing up too that I met that would kind of use the church as like their like shield. Like, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I do all this stuff, but they're really pieces of shit. And they'd be the first ones to throw you into the
fire.
Well
said.
So I just don't ever want to be, I don't ever want to be a person like that. And I kind of got jaded from growing up and having those people treat my family and my dad and my mom like shit, because they would use the holier than thou, you know, facade or whatever it was. So comfort is a hard drug kind of came from that, is like, okay, you say you believe in this, so I guess you think that that's your comfort and being a good person, but you're still kind of a piece of shit. So it's, it's a spiteful thing on that end. But then taking a step back from that and looking at myself, it's really like what you just said. Okay, I love to sit around and do fucking nothing. Mm-hmm. I love to sit around and hang out. I just like, I live on the lake. I just got a boat like a year ago. So I'll go out to Party Cove and I'll just like have some beers and sit there and watch the sunset. That's my favorite fucking thing to do, and not do anything productive, and just let the to-do list just keep getting longer and longer and longer. So for each person, I feel like comfort is different, whether that's religion or money or a hangout spot or a car or a boat or a fucking house, or even a person, you know, somebody that you shouldn't be spending time with or wasting time on. Sometimes you just like, it's easy, I'll just stay in this relationship.
People fear change. In general, people fear change. That's why relationships go on longer than they should. People stay at jobs longer than they should. People go to the same restaurant and order the same fucking thing because they don't want to try duck or whatever the fuck it is. People just get used to, because human beings are habitual by nature, and you have to force yourself to get out of your comfort zone. I love doing things I've never done before. I like the idea of saying, oh, I'm going to be bad at this when I start, but that's all right. I'll figure it out and get better. That's fine.
It's scary to look at stuff the first time and then be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to suck at this. Yeah, especially
when I remember when I first saw a vagina, I felt that way exactly.
Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. But the comfort is a hard drug line. It just kind of came from growing up with that. And then not just wanting to stay spiteful, but like taking a look at myself and doing that exact thing, challenging myself and hoping to challenge other people that listen to the songs and the lyrics. Cause I'm really proud of the lyrics and the melodies and stuff. Like that's what I spend the most of my time on, is trying to not let a lazy lyric slip through. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people listen to that and say, hey, yeah, comfort is a hard drug and I'm going to fucking stand up for myself. And sometimes that means being the black sheep and being different than everyone else. Like, fuck you guys, go take your standardized bullshit, have your white picket fence and whatever it is, 2.5, 3.5 kids and the house and shit, enjoy that 401k. Like, I'm going to go do something fun, because you might die before me anyways and not be able to enjoy that retirement. You really don't know.
Do you still embrace the church teachings of your dad, or have you divided? Wow, I scared him off of that question. Right away. And there you go. Do you still embrace the church, or you're not religious?
Yeah, I, you know, I still think about it a lot, and I try to remind myself of where I came from a lot. I haven't been involved with the church lately. You know, like whenever I was in college, I was still playing music at the church. That's where I started playing music, was in the church. And then just kind of went off. I mean, I guess you could say on a selfish way, like I was like, yeah, let's go do my thing and let's go make money doing this and like enjoy what we're playing instead of having to play the same three worship songs for 4 weeks straight.
Do you ever throw them into a set just to shake it up?
No, not really. Haven't tried that one yet, but I definitely respect it, and I've thought about that a lot more lately, especially with, you know, I had my grandmother who I was really close to. She passed away at the beginning of last year, and so I start thinking about those things. Like, again, we're getting deep here, but like, do I have to believe in something? Like, I want to see this person again. Should I be believing because of that, or is that too selfish? And then am I going to go to hell because I only believe because I want to see my grandmother again? Those kind of things.
Right.
So just to be honest, like, that's just where I'm at right now.
Right. That's a really good question. It's a nice deep way to look at it. I never really thought about it that, because I'm not religious at all, but I just think that we just don't know. So it's weird to put finite answers on things. Oh, it's definitely this or definitely that, because there's no way to fucking know, you know? So I just feel it's weird that people try to put everything in a box. But it looks like you're struggling with it. But I get it. It's you know, especially when you're raised religious, it's hard to not look at the world through that lens a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if the word struggle is necessarily the one that I would use. I kind of enjoy the journey, honestly, of just hearing things out and enjoying learning along the way. You know, like enjoying hearing what other people have to say. And I have friends that are so against religion. It's like annoying. It's like, dude, fucking come on.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah.
And then
I'm not against it. I just am not. And do whatever you want. You know, just don't like.
Oh, yeah, you can be fundamentalist on being an atheist sometimes too, and that's just as annoying. Yeah.
I'm just agnostic. I think agnostic is a logical.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then I have other friends who will try to whap me in the head with the Bible every time I see him, and I'm just like, dude, either don't you know where you grew up? I'm like, yeah, but I do. And I'm not out here being a fucking terrible person. I'm just enjoying kind of, I don't know, wandering around a little bit, maybe. I'm not like gone from my ways of growing up by any means. And I'm just, I guess maybe putting it off. I don't fucking know, man. I'm just being honest with you.
Well, logically,
no, absolutely.
It always seems the older you get, you go back to religion. It seems like we just had we had Ted Nugent on not that long ago, and he's always been super right wing and super, you know, God fearing kind of guy. He never changed. But a lot of other people, it seems like as you get older, you get more conservative. As you get older, you get more religious. Maybe because you're fearing death. I don't know. How the fuck do I know?
I think that has a lot to do with it.
I do believe that. If there wasn't something, like, my life wouldn't be where I'm at now if there wasn't somebody like with the odds in my favor, like helping it out, because this is like, I don't know what we're doing now. Even talking to you guys, like, I should be fucking working some lame ass job doing some shit that I hate for the rest of my life with like a terrible wife and some little shithead kids that I hate. That's probably what I deserve. But I have like the opposite of that. I don't know, man. I've been really lucky.
That's a great attitude. And also, you've got an amazing work ethic. Like, I was listening to a couple of interviews you were doing, and you actually do kind of say it without, like, you know, bragging about yourself. But it's one thing to have talent, but to really act on it. And you would talk about picking the people that you would want in your band that at the last minute, at like maybe midnight, all right, we got a possible gig, you know, 200 miles away. Are you able to do that? Will you get in the car? We'll go and do that, and collecting yourself with those type of people. But I mean, your work ethic has always been paramount and what has gotten you the success. I mean, you did really make it happen on your own.
But you know what, Bill, I think you glossed over one thing, which was that obviously Austin thinks it's a big honor to talk to me. And to me, that was the most important part of what he said.
Austin, I can smell that lie.
Yeah, it's important for sure for me to surround myself with people who just want to do that same thing. It's like they understand the sacrifice. And my guitar player, David Willie, for the last like 3.5-4 years now, he's been a huge part of this, and he's the same way as me. He's like, fuck yeah, like I'm in, let's go do this thing, and understanding the bigger picture of it. And but it's definitely not at the beginning, it was by myself for sure, but the last couple years has been like I've only been able to do what we've done because I've met other people that have the same goals in mind and have the same fucking worth ethic, you know. It's like but everybody's piece is different, right? Not everybody is meant to do these things and like do all the chatting with folks and, you know, the stuff behind the scenes. Like I hate running ads and I hate doing fucking computer shit. I just don't like it. And I don't want to do that, but we have people that are fucking awesome at that. So being able to actually build a team has been something that's really new to me, but we've seen a lot of growth since then. So it has, you know, validated the importance of having like those team members around you that have the same goals and don't just say yes to everything you want just because you fucking said yes to it. You know, like, oh, we got to do this.
I'm stealing something that you guys did on your Instagram, Austin_Mead, the way you set up the highlight stories to be tour merch. Like it was really, I've never seen anyone do that. I'm like, oh, that's a smart idea. Right. I sent it to my, my IG guy and say, steal this idea. So kudos to you for that. All right, before we go any further, great news of any fans of Yo Kratom. You know they've been a longtime sponsor of this network and comedy. They now recently launched Yo Delta. Yo Delta is home of all Delta 8 products that you need. They are our new Delta 8 sponsor with everything you need to stay high all summer long. So if you're over 21 and living in most of the states in this country, I think it's like 44 of them that it can ship to. I'm not exactly sure, but most of the states in this country, it is legal to ship you Delta 8, so you can stock up now at yodelta.com. It's something that they found in weed that's legal to ship. So it feels very similar to weed that's illegal in most states, but for some reason, thanks to archaic laws, it is fine to ship this, whether you're looking for vape, for gummies, anything in the Delta 8 category. They've got it for you. If you go to yodelta.com, you use the code GAS. That's once again, yodelta.com. Use the code GAS, and you're going to get 25% off your entire order. That's 25% off your entire order of all high-quality Delta 8 products, gummies, and vapes that'll get you high legally in most of the states in this country. All right, let's get back into it. You mentioned your guitarist. Bastard. I know we're going to do a song live right now.
Austin, where's your lawyer? I hope he has the
Brian, where's he at? He's
not here. We're going to do a song off the album. Kevin, you mentioned your guitarist. We're going to play it right now. I know you guys are going to do that. So let's go into that, and we'll come back and talk to you a little bit more.
There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Why is it so goddamn hard just to keep things from falling apart? Should've called it off from the start just to keep you from breaking my heart. I wish that it was easy. I wish that you could see me for who I am. I wish that you would treat me. I wish that you would fuck me like you gave a damn. Nightmares that keep you quiet, sticking in your mind. the church bells, Jesus Christ. Why is it so goddamn hard just to keep things from falling apart? Should've called it off from the start just to keep you from breaking my heart. Always wanted something real. Handwritten letters, candle wax seal. Midwest American feel. The perfect life that they'd all love to steal. Call it off from the start just to keep you from breaking my heart. I swear I'll never run again. I'll be here till the walls cave in. Victim of your latest trend. I can't keep your attention. I can't keep your attention.
All right, from the new record, Black Sheep, that is Austin Mead there performing acoustic live from Songers Cave-In. So a couple of the quick things, then we'll do the first. Let's first get into this. I know, as you mentioned a little bit while ago, you are already in studio recording a new record. Just give us a little background on that and where you are in the process of that at this point.
We are doing final cuts and stuff. I'm about to start working on vocals here in a minute, which is why I'm drinking a little whiskey and Dr. Pepper. But yeah, I've fucking really enjoyed writing for this new record. Black Sheep was fun, and it was my angsty, like, I gotta get this out of me kind of shit. And now, like, this new record is still just as meaningful in, like, the lyrics, but there's more of a storyline behind it. And it's I think it's a lot more well-organized. And a lot of these songs were me and Willie just going to my house and I would just get stoned and I would just write shit that was making us laugh our asses off until like 4 a.m, where we couldn't fucking stop laughing. And like, that's how I knew it was going to be good, because we'd write something and he'd be like, that is so fucking ridiculous. And then we would just laugh and I'd be like, all right, next verse. So that's kind of how this one is. It's as of right now, it's called Loser Mentality. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the songs
I can
there.
Relate. I can relate.
Yeah, believe me, I can relate. But also, you are that rare cat that has some really dark lyrics and goes to some really dark places, but you also don't take yourself seriously. Like, I just saw right before we did this, I saw the Lying to Myself video, which, by the way, I love the fact that the guy at the beginning of the video is the cool story bro meme.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a full-on clown. And when he embraces his inner clown, that's when he gets the girl. But it's a hilarious video. And like you go to dark places, but you also don't take yourself that seriously either, which is a rare thing for someone your age. It usually takes a while before musicians can kind of do both. But it's impressive.
I like to let those deep, dark things live in the songs and then just fucking go away. And I get to revisit those feelings if I want to feel angsty or I want to feel, like mad. I just go back to those songs and I jam the fuck out and then I let them go and I just live the rest of my day out like a normal human being. So it's way cheaper than therapy. It's way cheaper than therapy.
Yeah. By the way, looked at these podcasts, Bill, as therapy. Like whenever I'm in a bad mood, I use these podcasts to just talk about whatever's going on in my fucking head. It just helps a lot.
Whenever my co-host talks about taking massive dumps, even though she's a former Miss New York, that's my therapy. Like, all right, that entertains me. Yeah.
My therapy would be her sending me those videos.
By the way, they exist. I guarantee you they exist.
All right, so one more question, and then we'll do the
You have to
the
pay
first.
For those. That's the OnlyFans.
That's our OnlyFans. Right.
It's called OnlyPoops.
All right, so in some interview I read, someone asked you for a crazy road story. You told a story about one of the guys in your band being dressed as a preacher, passed out in the front seat of your van, and you said that was the only safe story you could tell for those people. I guess it was more politically correct.
Good
but
question.
This is the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I want to hear a fucking wild story. Tell us a story that you wouldn't normally tell.
I've got to think about this one for a second. So,
I mean, don't push out, Austin. Come on now.
The most recent shit, man. I don't even like. Let me just think about recent stuff. The last couple months of shows, we played in Tulsa at this little shitty bar that was really fun. It was a fucking dive.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was hot as fuck in there, and we were all hungover as shit from a long night the night before. And, you know, doing a little party favors and shit. So I was just sweating my balls off. So I guess a couple songs into the show, I took my shirt off and then everybody started filming this shit. I tried to get the rest of the band to do it, but they all pussed out. They didn't want to take off their shirts. So then I'm just playing the rest of the show, like, whatever, no fucking shirt on, no big deal. But then these girls are just like coming up and like, I'm like skinny fat, right? I'm not even fucking good looking. I got fucking skinny fat going on. These girls are all taking these videos and shit. So I just stopped the show or whatever. And I'm like, you guys are fucking abusing me for my titties right now. And I'm not going to fucking have it. And they thought I was being serious. So the whole room got quiet and they went back to their seats. Like, oh, we don't know how to, and then we just start jamming the fuck out. That was a fun one. But let's see. I'm trying to think of some other shit that's happened. We had not our current bass player, but one of our old bass players. He had a fucking thing where he'd get obliterated, like fucking wasted, and then had no idea what the fuck he was doing. So he'd fall asleep in parking lots while we were loading out. I'd have to go pick him up and put him in the seat, and we had the van bench seats. So I'd have to strap him down with all three seat belts. In the van bench seat, because he would just wake up and try to open the door and take
Jesus
a piss
Christ.
While we were driving a van down the freeway, like middle of the night coming back from fucking Minnesota, you just see him get up like fucking a zombie, like, I got to piss. And then just open, they're like, no.
Oh my God.
Anyways, not with this. He's still here. He's still alive.
Still
but yeah,
us.
That was pretty fucking stressful at the time. And then looking back, I just can't stop laughing at it. It's one of those moments where, like, in the moment, you're like, oh, fuck, dude, I don't want to deal with this ever again. But looking back, having, like, a drunk-ass pissed zombie as the bass player in the band, that was pretty funny now that we all survived and we're, you know, still
Plus,
alive.
I really like the term pissed zombie.
There we go. That's a new one.
We're going to hit the first right
dead.
Now so we can wrap this up.
The first time. Ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is, you know, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We ask every guest since the dawn of time these three questions. We start with rock and roll, and the question is, the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, one that you said, I want to go to, this is and it's a show that not some local schmucks that no one's ever heard of, a band that we are going to know.
One of the first times that I went to shows without my dad, we got to go see Kings of Leon show back when I was in high school. And so we all loaded up and my friend's parents had this like handicap van. So we all loaded up in there and took it to Austin to go see Kings of Leon. And the last thing they told us was like, don't fucking get in trouble, you know? So of course, we're like, we're going to go see Kings of Leon, dude. We should hotbox in the van before we go in. So we're a bunch of like 17-year-old, 18-year-olds. So we're all stoned walking out of the fucking van. And one of the guys like lost their ticket on the way in. So we had to go back and find the fucking ticket on the side of the curb. Anyways, Kings of Leon, we all made it in there too. But that's like the theme of my life is like we all made it so far.
But Austin, I'm not sure you know how this works. It's better. See, Kings of Leon, that's a cool fucking answer. It would have been so much better if you said something like Britney Spears. like something embarrassing, but like that's a great first concert. Like that,
yeah,
ABBA reunited,
right? Earth, Wind, and Fire, baby. I think our guitar player Willie, that was one of his first shows.
It was one of my first shows, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
By the way, that's not bad. By the way,
Austin, how dare you shit on Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Hey, but if I did shit on Earth, Wind, and Fire, you'd probably pay to see it, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
You saw his fetish. You saw it right away.
Now, the first drug you ever did after pot, unless weed is the worst drug you've ever done.
Have you heard his songs about cocaine?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that. But that's pretty much it, man. I haven't really done anything else. I've got every now and then try to stay awake and get into that. But my first time I ever got stoned, this is kind of an interesting story. Exclusively for this podcast.
I love it.
Which I haven't told anybody this, so my dad's going to fucking kill me. But, you know, I'm 10 love years past 18. So yeah, he was a pastor. And the first time I ever got stoned was actually in the church parking lot, not at his church parking lot, but at the Church of Latter-day Saints next door. And so me and my buddies were like, yeah, let's get stoned. So we have no idea what the fuck we're doing. So we just go for it. And we're in this church parking lot. And then we're like, all right, I guess everybody chills out. We're listening to music for a minute. Then we're just stoned. So we're like, I guess we're going to go home. So that's how weed is, right? You get stoned and then you're just like,
oh, yeah.
All right, man, I'm going to go eat something. I'll catch you tomorrow. And that's pretty much how it went. So I go home, get to the house, walk to the front door. And for some reason I was under the impression that I had like lost my keys, even though they were in my fucking hand. So I'm like trying to open the front door. I'm like, oh fuck. My parents' bedroom is literally right by the front door and my dad can hear me trying to open the fucking shit. I lost my keys. So he opens the door and it was like, you know, late at night. And he looked at me and I'm sure I was just like, you know, like oh, whatever. And all he said to me, he's like, go to your room before your mother wakes up. And I was like, yes, sir. So I just went to my room, fucking watched some cartoons and that was the whole thing. But
Got away with it.
Well, there's another story of you getting just making it happen. You just made it happen, so you got away with it. It's a good story.
You made it happen, dude. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh well, I would always hear the stories about like I don't even know what the weed situation is in Texas right now, but you would always hear the stories about back in the day where they would just sort of like follow Willie Nelson's bus and then nail him with a ticket or even put him in jail. Sometimes, as of today. Today, New York has just legalized weed. Right. But what's the situation going on in Texas? I don't even know. Where do you guys stand?
It depends what county you're in, really. It really depends on who's running the county and shit. So, you know, you've got people that just kind of brush it off. And it's definitely relaxed as of the last 5 years, for sure. But there's still a lot of fuckery going on in, like, the small towns that need to make money. You know, so if they're trying to meet their quota,
oh, I'm sure.
They those speed trap towns, you got to fucking watch out, buddy.
Man, I didn't know about that till today, about the speed trap. Like, and it's just looking for weed. Yeah. And then to your point, making that quota.
Oh, they'll give you a speed limit sign that's, you know, it'll go 60, 65 and then 35 like that. Right. So you're just like, oh, fuck, you know, and just out of the blue.
God.
And guess what? That guy's always sitting just on the other side of the next building. So it's just kind of how they work in some of these small towns. But not that everybody's like that, but you definitely got to watch your ass.
All right. Now let's finish with the first time you had sex.
First time I had sex. Fuck. That's an interesting one. I remember, man, this was like probably fucking 10, 12 years ago. It was probably right whenever I started driving, honestly. And it was probably how long that Bill lasted at the beginning of this, whenever he was looking at Shannon's picture. Probably about like that.
And, excellent callback, my friend.
Yeah. And the only thing I can really remember, because it stuck with me, was just the disappointment on her face and the length of time. And that was pretty much, yeah.
Well, so, let me, as a man of 51,
I'm 45 and that still happens.
As a man of 51, I got very used to the disappointment on women's faces. Totally.
Hey, that's why, aren't you supposed to do it with your eyes closed? Isn't that how you're supposed to, just so you don't have to see it?
Are you single right now, by the way?
No, actually.
You just got married, right?
I just got married like less than a month ago. So, oh,
man, just as your career is blowing up, you get married. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Hey, I honestly, I would be in a lot of trouble if I wasn't. So, and I'd have to deal with all the fucking bullshit and the stress of all the, that shit. I have like, I got it made. I got the best wife I could
question,
ask for.
Question though. Question. This will determine if I agree with you that she's the best wife. You ready? After the titty flopping incident of a few months ago of you with your shirt off, did she think it was funny or did she get mad at you?
Good question.
She just asked me how many shots of Jaeger I had taken, and I said a lot. She was like, all right, makes sense. She didn't really give a shit.
Oh, hey, hold on to her. Hold on to her.
Here's an even better one, okay? So for the Lying to Myself video, there's some strippers, like some dancers at the end of that video that we had up there, right? And so we hired these dancers to come, like, be a part of the video at the very end, and they showed up and they were like kind of standing around, not really doing a great job. They're just kind of like, okay, whatever, we'll be fine. And so we're trying to figure out how to like get them more motivated, right? So then my fiance at the time, now wife, she's on the front row, and she's like, hey, why don't y'all get on your hands and knees and crawl towards each other real sexy, and we'll throw some balloons at you. So then I'm like, fuck yeah, babe. So then my wife is literally throwing balloons at these strippers while they're crawling towards each other like little cats. And I'm just like, I'm keeping this one, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Well done.
All right, the album.
Does she have a sister?
The album Black Sheep is out now. AustinMead.com. Austin_Mead on most of the socials. I know on Instagram and Twitter. And you got a bunch of dates listed at AustinMead.com of where you guys are going out on the road right now. Hopefully the world is opening up more and more. Is there anything else I'm forgetting to plug before we go around the room?
No, man, we actually have a big tour that I'm going to be announcing within the next week or two. So I'll let you know, but we're going to be all over the country, not just like regionally. So it's about to, shit's
well, thank God
real.
The world is slowly opening up. So it's a great thing.
Absolutely.
To see. Bill, your plugs.
Yes. Morning with Bill Schultz and Joanne Osaczynski on Compound Media, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Thursday. And Austin, I will be bothering Ralph for your information because we would love to have you on the show, dude. You are hilarious and talented, and I'd hate you if it wasn't for the fact that you were so charming.
Right.
I'm very jealous.
What's also nice, Bill, is Austin and I both share a poop fetish, apparently. Okay, Shannon, you want to do your plug? Shannon, are you there?
You can listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
And Ani, I don't know if it's going to work. I know we're having some some streaming issues.
I'll just keep my video off. Don't worry about it. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ani_Moosh. And check out my website at AniMooshMedia.com.
Okay, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast on health and wellness, Good Sugar, comes out every Monday, everywhere you might consume a podcast. Austin, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Hey, you rock, Austin. That was awesome.
I thought it was poopfetishralph.com. Is that?
That's my only fan. And then we add a song of the week every week. The first track is the one that jumped out at me the most, Dopamine Drop. So we're going to add that to the playlist. And, dude, thank you so much for being a part of the show. It was fun.
Hell yeah. I'll see you guys soon.
That was great, Austin. Thanks so much.
Right. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
I'm addicted to everything. That dopamine drop, the drugs and the money, and the prime time spots. I just wanna be wanted. I wanna be on top. I can't control the feeling. That dopamine drop. I'm not the kind that likes a love song. Think of holding you closely, but I know you'll never be here.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.